Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to do a short introduction, and then Helen's going to take you through some more detail, and I'm joined with Greg as well. So respect to our period three numbers, suffice to say I'm delighted with the way the business has progressed over the last 4 months. 30% sales growth and progress made in all geographies with conversion improvements, and which is despite the ongoing mobile shift. I'm also really pleased with the 24% increase in our active customers, a key measure for our future growth. As I said in the release, we're now upgrading our sales forecast for the rest of the year to the upper end of a 20 to 25% range. And we're still confident, of course, in delivering our profit expectations for the full year. Given the increased momentum in the business, combined with our strong balance sheet, we can continue to maintain this successful program of reinvestment. So to ensure we capture the opportunities available to us. The likely result in the sales growth going forward for the foreseeable future is in the 20 to 25 range, albeit with some nearer-term margin expansion abated. However, we still expect our profit trajectory of the business to be broadly in line with our current market PBT consensus. As I say at the Capital Markets Day with respect to Brexit, clearly it's difficult to predict what the long-term implications are going to be, but the sterling weakness will give us significant tailwinds on top of our sales, which should mitigate any of the increased costs. We will take any of those benefits and reinvest them straight into our customer proposition as we previously guided. All right, that's all I want to say for now, so I'll hand over to Helen to take you through the rest of the detail.
Thanks, Nick. Good morning, everyone. So a really pleasing trading performance across the business since the half year. Total retail sales increased by 30% to 500.5 million. Growth in P&P income aided by continued strong growth in the number of ASOS Premier Delivery customers supported total group revenue of 514.6 million for the period, also up 30% year on year. Every geography improved its performance over the P2 levels. Our customer KPIs continue to track in the right direction, including order frequency, which has been up some 3% year on year. I'm really pleased to state that conversion improved by 30 basis points, despite mobile accounting for more than 66% of visits during the period, which is up over 800 basis points year on year, which is fantastic. This is testament to the strength of our mobile offer and team, who we were very pleased to introduce you to at our recent capital markets event. Active customer growth continued its recent upward trend, up 24% year on year to 12 million, another record for ASOS. Now turning to the sales performance by geography in a little more detail. So in the UK, sales performance continued to accelerate at 28% against a pretty strong comp of 27% last year, as always aided by the strength of our product proposition and engaging content. It's still early days to quantify the impact of ASOS A-List Rewards, which was launched in late February this year, but I'm confident it's making a really positive contribution. ASOS Premier Delivery remains strong, with a number of customers increasing by over 40% since last year. The UK continued to see impressive growth in visits, active customers and conversion. And of the visits that we saw, 75% came from a mobile device, which we're really happy about. All of the factors just mentioned have resulted in a performance in our home market, which we're really proud of. So turning to the EU, so sales growth was 32% in sterling terms, and on a constant currency basis, so EU sales increased by 22%, an acceleration from the 17% growth we saw in P2. Germany remains a real star performer amongst the larger countries, but I'm also pleased to say that France continues to improve since my update at the half one results. Other notable strong performers during the period were Spain, Austria, Italy, Netherlands, Belgium, and the Republic of Ireland. As we said in April, we've continued to invest in our customer proposition across the EU, introducing free returns across all countries. This was implemented across most territories in April, with the final two, Malta and Croatia, going live in May. And also in May, we launched a next-day delivery solution to 14 additional EU countries. So in the US, we saw sales growth of 53% in sterling terms and 45% growth in constant currency over the period. And that's the strongest constant currency growth from the US since P2 2014. we've continued to see strong growth in active customers and conversion from this territory. As you're aware, from mid-April, we began to reinvest US duty savings into our prices. We also improved our standard shipping time to 4 days from the 4 to 6 days previously, and each of these initiatives have undoubtedly resulted in increasing momentum in the US. And finally, in the rest of the world, our sales performance has continued to improve with growth of 16% both in sterling and constant currency. Australia and Russia both delivered low double-digit constant currency growth. So turning to the retail gross margin, this was down 180 basis points during the period. The year-on-year picture is distorted by the fact that we returned the launch of sale to week 43 this year from week 44 last year. Week 43 is the week historically we have launched the summer sale, so we just reverted to the norm this year. And as a result of pulling 1 week of sale from P4 into P3, we've seen an impact on the year-on-year gross margin of 70 basis points, with the balance accounted for by our reinvestment of US duty back into US prices as we guided you to in April. We also remain on track with our logistics and technology investments from the year as a whole, including our Eurohub 2 warehouse, which progresses on time and on budget. 2 weeks ago, globally, we successfully dispatched 3.3 million units compared to 3.1 million during Black Friday last November, which is yet another record for us. So in terms of guidance, sales at the upper end of the 20 to 25% range, retail gross margin investment of up to 50 basis points, and we remain confident of delivering current market profit expectations. And just for clarity here, while some analysts have adjusted their models onto a continuing ASOS basis, thereby excluding China losses incurred prior to its closure on the 5th of May, others have not. We believe that the consensus of those that have stripped China losses out is PBT of 62 million, which ties to the guidance I gave you at the interims on the 12th of April. Nick and I will now open the call up for questions. Thanks very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash. Your first question today comes from the line of Claire Hub. Please ask your question.
Yeah, morning, Nick. Morning, Helen. Three questions from me, please. The first one on the US, just wondering whether the growth there is being driven more by new customer acquisition or higher spend from existing customers. So any KPIs you can share around that would be very useful. The second question, just wondering if you could comment on the performance of own brand versus third party during the quarter. And then third one, you mentioned that the loyalty scheme had started well in the UK. Just wondering whether members are typically spending more and also if you've got any plans to roll it out internationally anytime soon. Thank you.
All right, I'll pick up the first couple of those and then Helen will chip in, I'm sure. So in the US, we've seen new customer acquisition and higher spend, and so we're delighted with those dynamics. So new customer acquisition is greater than the group average, and spend is greater than we've not given the spend out, but it's greater than the group, as is frequency. So pretty much a row of cherries for the US. That's been driven by the price investment we talked to you about in April, and also the proposition investment for the US. Right now we have a express delivery which is 2 days and a standard delivery which is 4 days throughout the US. So we're really pleased with that.
On the own brand branded split, not too much difference to the half one, to be honest. So pretty similar there.
And in terms of A-list, yes, we are seeing a higher frequency and therefore spending more, and you know, which is entirely what the one of the outputs from the proposition. In terms of future rollout, we're just going to live with the numbers and live with the behaviours for a while. But I can tell you, we're very keen to allow more of our customers to benefit from that when we're in a position that we're comfortable that we fully understand it.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
The next question comes from the line of Anne Critchlow. Please ask a question.
Good morning, it's Anne from SocGen. Two questions, please. Just wondering if you're currently understocked following the better-than-expected sales growth, and if so, are you confident to pull in sufficient product to reach 25% sales growth, for example? So that's the first question. And then the second one is, could we have an update, please, on ASOS Premier, how that is performing?
Yeah. Anne, you would have heard us talk about, simple answer, understocked. No, we're not. We've got. You'd heard us talk about the capital markets day. How much we've relayered our intake, so it's on shorter lead time. So we're absolutely where we need to be, and we are confident of the sales growth that we've given for the rest of the year. In terms of Premier,
during the period, we've seen the number of Premier customers increase by 44%, which we're really proud of. I think we said at capital markets day, our Premier customers are our best customers, so you know, signing them up to what is a fantastic offer is absolutely what we want to do. So good performance again this period.
Great, thanks a lot.
Cheers,
next question comes from the line of Charlie Muirsen. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning, guys. Congratulations. I've got three questions. The first one is you've quantified the sale impact on the gross margin. I wondered if you could quantify the impact on the revenue growth in P3.
Sorry, did you have three questions, Charlie? Do you want to do one?
Oh yeah. The second one is your plan or your ambition to grow revenues 20-25%. I just wanted to check whether that was constant currency or reported, given the major sterling tailwind and clearly your strong growth in active customers. And then the third one was, I know it's a very, very early days, but I wondered if any of your third-party brand suppliers have yet commented on what they might be doing with cost prices, given the recent movement of sterling. Thank you.
Okay, so on the sales moving forward a week, so I think we've given you the impact from a gross margin perspective. We won't be splitting that out from a revenue perspective. What I would say, though, is we did have a site outage in the last week of the period, which kind of offset the sales slightly, but it's just a phase in between the two periods, so I'm pretty comfortable on that. On the 20 to 25% ambition, that is on a reported basis, so just to clear that up. On a third-party brand's perspective, cost?
Nothing that we're aware of right now, Charlie, because I'm expecting them to be hedged as well, but I expect there may be some conversations in the future.
Great, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Cotterin. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. In terms of your increased cost investment, can you just sort of outline again exactly what areas you've seen a better sales performance in Q3? Do you increase that investment once you've seen the higher sales growth come through, or is it investment that you put in place beforehand and then that delivered some of the higher sales growth?
The simplest answer with that, if you remember when we saw you at the interims, we talked about some happy consequences from the US duty. And on an annualized basis, that was something like £8 million. And we decided to invest all of that straight back into proposition. And so we did that in the US, and we did that in the in some of the European territories too. But the simple answer is, as we see growth, we get leverage. We put that leverage straight back into improving our customer experience through price, product, proposition, and then content, and then we dial up digital marketing when we see the favorable impact on the KPIs. Does that help, Adam?
Yeah, so in terms of, you talk about your commentary about the margin outlook going forwards, is it that if the sales growth, for whatever reason, didn't come in as much as you are currently thinking, you could scale back a little bit on some of those investments? So some of them are reactive to a degree in terms of how the sales develops.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that backs into exactly what I said at Capital Markets there. And I agree with Nick. You know, we did a price investment in the US early on in this calendar year. We saw how it went. Then we got the benefit from the US duty. Then we reinvested again and we went again. And we watch, we learn, we then go again. And at any point we didn't think that those opportunities were going to deliver the results that we wanted, then we would let that margin drop down to the bottom line. But, you know, you know from what we said at Capital Markets Day, we've got plenty of opportunities to continue to reinvest and get a good return for our shareholders. So that's what we'll continue to do.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Jerry Merriman. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Thank you. One question for me on Premier and then one about the investment. On Premier, can you just give us a little bit of color how it's doing by region and whether or not you have any plans to basically have Premier auto-renew? And then the second one is, if you think about that investment that you were just talking about, obviously you've done some in price investment in Europe and now in the U.S. Can you just update us on where you think your pricing sits in different regions and where, if you need to reinvest in price, that's likely to be? Thanks.
Okay. So in terms of regional Premier split, we're not going to give that, Jamie. But yes, we are. We've got auto renewal and one of our enhancements to the proposition. So that will be, look out for that. That'll be coming soon. So that'll just take away a bit of friction for our customers. But notwithstanding that, I am delighted with the Premier offer, which actually gets better when we improve the proposition. So when the delivery propositions are better, the price propositions are better, the content propositions are better, actually Premier becomes even better value for the customers. So it becomes quite a self-fulfilling circular prophecy. I'm delighted with where that's grown. In terms of relative pricing, we might just take an alternative view here. I'm actually pretty comfortable with our prices. We know we've got some things we need to go after, but given the fact we've got a tailwind, given the fact we've got a short to medium term benefit from the exchange or the sterling weakness, we're probably going to put that straight back into the customer pricing to actually accelerate our growth and grow a bigger business to soak up whatever changes might come our way. So that's how we're looking at it. So we've got that opportunity to do that with growth. So those are the things we're currently drawing up.
Thanks very much.
Next question comes from the line of Chris Shariara. Please ask the question.
Good morning, guys. Just one question from me. Could you please clarify or give a little bit of color on your direct versus indirect exposure to the US dollar? I mean, I know that you say that 80% of the settlement is done in sterling, but I wonder, especially for your own brand, if, for example, you have a supplier in the UK and that supplier has his or her costs in dollars, how should we be thinking about maybe any sort of costs that they will be wanting to pass on to you, or am I completely off here? Can you give a little bit of color there?
No, you're not completely off, Chris. I'm not going to do a price negotiation or give anyone a clue for people who might be listening. But suffice to say, some of our suppliers will have a cost base that is dependent on dollar inputs, such as cotton. And depending where they are, they'll have different functional currency exposures. You know, as Helen said the last update, we have somewhere in the high 80s of our input costs for product are currently settled in sterling. Now, we've been going through a process of relayering all of that and taking out some of the sterling exposure so we can get a greater natural hedge. Now, we won't get all the way to where we need to be on that. These short-term fluctuations in exchange rates, I suspect, will accelerate our opportunity to relayer some of those things. I think that's all I want to say, Chris. I know that's probably not the specific you
Fair enough. That's okay.
All right. Did you have another one? Because it's unusual. You've only got one question.
No, that's only one question.
Okay, brilliant.
Your next question comes from the line of George Mensah. Please ask your question.
Good morning, guys. Two quick questions. Just wondering if you could give us an update on in terms of local fulfillment in the US and EU respectively, and also in terms of, I mean, you've talked about mobile traffic being 66% If you could give us maybe a bit more color on in terms of the sales contribution coming from mobile devices and how that varies across the different regions. Thank you.
So, hi, George. On the second one, unfortunately, the answer is no on that one. We don't share that information. From a local fulfillment perspective,
Do you mean how we're doing in the number of orders by US and European warehouse, George?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, sorry. So US is just over the 20% of the orders are currently fulfilled from the US warehouse,
okay.
And over 35% of the European orders are fulfilled by, actually I'm just getting scribbled new numbers, 25% in the US and 40% in Europe, George. There you go. In the last week, they've accelerated.
Look at that. Look at that. Even quicker than you thought.
Does that help? All right. Sorry, George, did that help?
That's great. Thank you very much.
Well, in which case, guys, I think that's the last question. So thank you so much for dialing in. To conclude, we're really delighted with the acceleration in our business and are confident of our four-year expectations. Expect us to continue this strategy because while the opportunity is ahead of us and we've told you where we think the opportunity is, we'll continue to do that. And next time we'll hear from us will be on the four-year results on the 18th of October. So thanks so much for participating. Greg's around and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you. But have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.